Our first item for discussion and action this afternoon is a tripartite request. It relates to Judicial Council branch facilities, and it comes to us, as I said, in three parts, item 1A, 1B, and 1C. And we have presenters here for all three parts. And so I welcome all of our presenters and ask you to introduce yourselves, although all of you are well known to us. But for those listening on audiocast, please proceed.
I'm David Power, Chair of the Trial Court Facility Modifications Advisory Committee.
Judge William Heiberger from Los Angeles, Vice Chair, same committee.
Kurt Sutherland, Chief Administrative Officer of the Judicial Council.
Patrick McGrath, Facility Operations, Real Estate and Facilities Management.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Chief Justice. Before we review the slides, as this is my last presentation before the Council on behalf of the Advisory Committee, I want to take this opportunity to thank Nancy Carlisle and all the staff at the Office of Judicial Council Support for their assistance regarding Council presentations to the Advisory Committee. Their assistance was truly helpful. I thank the Judicial Council for this opportunity to present the Advisory Committee reports on Item 1A, the five-year master plan, Item 1B, budget allocations for statewide trial court and facility modifications.
Sounds like a facilities modification.
This building's maintained by Department of General Services, not by us. I'm going to stand at the podium and it's my time to talk.
Okay. I think this works better here. Thank you. And that is the committee reports on Item 1A, the five-year master plan, Item 1B, budget allocations for statewide trial court facility modifications, and Item 1C, budget request for fiscal year 16-17. Next slide, please. The Trial Court Facility Modification Advisory Committee provides ongoing oversight of the judicial branch program that manages operations and maintenance of existing facilities, facility modifications, non-capital related real estate transactions, energy management, environmental management, and sustainability throughout the state. And this slide reflects that the judicial branch has about 20 million square feet of facilities under management, which is approximately the equivalent of three Pentagon buildings or the UCLA campus. The challenge for the real estate program is that our facilities are spread throughout the state with many in relatively remote locations. Next slide, please. The deferred maintenance report was first released to the Department of Finance last year as requested in Budget Letter 14-20. That document specified that the deferred maintenance report have the building name or location, the potential cost of repair, and prioritization of the projects. The deferred maintenance report submitted to you conforms to these requirements. The judicial branch's list includes 2,818 identified projects. The total cost of these projects has a rough order of magnitude of approximately $2.1 billion, and the Judicial Council's share of the project cost is estimated at $1.6 billion. Next slide, please. The staff prioritized this list based on the following factors, which include facilities closed and scheduled for surplus, or facilities planned for surplus due to the construction of a new facility, were not included on the list. The advisory committee provided input to staff on the prioritization of building systems. For example, a roof system has a higher priority than HVAC or interior finishes. The facility condition index of the buildings were considered in the ranking. The facility condition index, or FCI index, basically is the ratio between the value of the building and the cost of repair. And this analysis resulted in a higher priority for those buildings in the worst condition. The higher the FCI number, the worse the condition of the building. The trial courts were provided with the opportunity for input through the Trial Court Presiding Judges Advisory Committee and SEAC, and no objections were received. The report was released for public comment, and no public comment was received. The report was reviewed and approved by the Trial Court Facility Modification Advisory Committee. This document, if approved, will be included with the Court Facilities Advisory Committee approved capital outlay budget change proposal, along with other council approved BCPs. Next slide, please. Our recommendation, and we request approval of the deferred maintenance report for release to the Department of Finance. And Chief Justice, do you want action on this now or proceed to the end?
We'll proceed to the end.
Okay. With regard to item 1B, next slide, please, the budget allocations for statewide trial court facility modifications and planning. The advisory committee requests that the council approve allocations of the $65 million authorized by the legislature for statewide facility modifications, $10 million for Priority 1 FMs. Priority 1 FMs are the emergency repairs. That's 15% of the total. $48.1 million for Priority 2 through 6 FMs, which is 74% of the total. $2.9 million for planned facility modifications, which is 5% of the total, and $4 million for statewide facility modification planning, which is 6% of the total. The committee hopes, next slide please, the committee hopes that additional general fund money in fiscal year 16-17 will be obtained for Fund 3066, the Court Facilities Trust Fund, which pays for utilities, leases, insurance, and routine and preventative maintenance. There's not enough money for facility modifications or routine maintenance, which results in a run-to-failure response. Running systems to failure increases the remediation costs. Additional concerns include the increasing costs to service new, larger buildings online for completion and the need to maintain buildings taken off the SB 1407 replacement list and close building. Next slide, please. Again, the advisory committee recommends the allocations of the $65 million appropriated for facility modifications. I'll now pass this to Vice Chair Bill Heiberger, who will walk through the remaining slides.
Thanks, David. Madam Chief and others, this is a good news, bad news report. So we'll start out with some good news, actually. One of the things we're proud of, what we've accomplished in the last several years, is we have started to put some real dollars into energy conservation, primarily in electricity so far. We'll start looking at water in the years ahead. We've done 34 energy efficiency projects in the last 3 years. We've spent about $2.9 million, and we're already saving $1 million a year in avoided expense. In the coming fiscal year, we intend to devote approximately $2 million. We have been going after the low-hanging fruit, frankly, so the earliest projects, the first projects you do, are the ones that give you the best bang for the buck. By way of example, the BF Sys Courthouse in Fresno, we did some improvements. The total cost was about $60,000, and you'll see we reduced electric usage by about a quarter. So we're very pleased with that, and we know there's a lot of potential to continue to do this. The several utilities around the state often help with consulting, which is valuable in its own right, and in certain utility districts, they'll even subsidize with a rebate some of the changes and improvements that can be made. Next slide, please. Another thing for which we're very pleased that happened in the last year is Sierra County in Downeyville got their roof, their windows, and some of the walls replaced and refurbished. Cost about $416,000. You may remember that only a few years ago, there was a $23 million project authorized to build a whole new one-courtroom courthouse in Downeyville, which was necessarily canceled when the economic realities struck. And the Court Facilities Advisory Committee, then called a working group, asked that this be handled as far as the problems in Sierra County as a facilities modification. And that's what we did for the branch. We're really pleased with this. It was a real struggle because the county, which owns about half the building, because the sheriff's station is in the first floor, is broke. It's a typical small county up in the mountains kind of economy problem. They didn't have the money. And we've given them a time payment plan where they're going to give us the kind of maintenance services they otherwise provide anyway for the next 9 years approximately. And that process of giving us free services over the next 9 years will pay for their share of the $400,000. The chief may remember that Presiding Judge Kennelly and Court Executive Kirby sent a thank you letter in January, and one of the things they said was this was the first time they'd been in a watertight building for years. So we're really pleased that for $400,000, of which really the branch only pays $200,000, we solved their real problems and have given them a courthouse that's got another generation to go, if not longer. Next slide. So now we turn to some extent to the bad news. That's about the rest of what you're going to hear. The bad news is, you see the yellow on the bottom of this bar chart? The yellow is our new courthouses. A few have come online, Hollister, Contra Costa, Arneson. This last fiscal year, San Bernardino's come online. We're going to have a tripling of this area in yellow at the bottom of the chart by the end of the next fiscal year, because new projects in San Bernardino have just come online, new projects under construction in Stockton and San Diego will come online, and we're basically going to have a tripling of the new square footage that we have to maintain as compared to the status quo ante really just 12 months ago. And these new buildings are going to have LED rewards for being so energy efficient, but the truth of the matter is, because of the needs of the public, they're larger than the buildings they replaced. Had to be. San Bernardino had a huge need for more judicial capacity, both in terms of bench officers and courtrooms. So it's a new big building replacing nothing because it's growth. And in San Diego, they've had population growth. So these are bigger buildings, and bigger buildings have bigger electric bills. And bigger buildings with modern systems, fancy elevators, fancy HVAC, fancy security, are expensive to maintain. And you have to maintain your elevators. You know, you can ignore your car for 12 months if you really want to. You shouldn't. But you can't ignore a complicated public building with elevators and fire life systems and lockups and all the rest. You have to maintain it, and that costs money. We haven't really gotten rid of much of our existing inventory. Yeah, we get rid of a building here or there as we move into new buildings, but in the grand scheme of things, we're using and we'll keep using the buildings in red. That's the 90-plus percent of our portfolio that is old and inherited, and we're going to continue to use for another generation under any reasonable analysis. And then on top in the green, we have closed courthouses, and we previously presented to the court execs and the presiding judges the horrible problem that we are having a huge problem getting rid of old buildings that we don't need. We've got two courthouses in Portola we don't use, and we've got courthouses all around the state that are closed and we can't get rid of them. We've tried to air the problem. It's beyond the work of the council today to fix that problem, but somewhere, somehow, we've got to figure out how to get rid of our closed courthouses if there's no plan to move back in. Next slide, please. So I left for Martin at his place his very own personal copy of what's otherwise known as the mouse pad. Many of you who've been on this body for a while got your mouse pad some while ago, but now Martin has his, and I taped onto it the most current data so that he would know. Not bought at public expense, I hasten to add. My wife, Carolyn Kuhl, and I paid for these originally about 4 years ago from some coffee mug shop in Florida. And as Kurt pointed out, it's a complicated slide, but some of you have seen it. So let me take a moment to explain it this way, and then I'm going to give you an overlay on this slide to explain things further. In the bottom, in the green, you see the money we spend for routine maintenance. And we're going to spend more time talking about this in a few minutes. Routine maintenance is that elevator inspection. It's cutting the grass. It's removing the snow up in the mountains. It is responding to a clogged toilet request, replacing a burned out light bulb. It's all those things that go into the category of routine maintenance, the kind of thing that happens more than once a year. And so we're spending about $60 million, if I read the number in the right-hand column. $50 million. Okay, what is in gray is the money we get for major systems upgrades, which goes by as the jargonish term facilities modifications. Facilities modifications is basically just jargon for something like a roof replacement or an elevator overhaul or an expensive response in the lockup when some custody clogs the toilet with his underwear or with his lunch and the toilet overflows and you have brown water leaking over the building and you've got a $5, $10, $20, $50, $80,000 mitigation as a result of vandalism. It is the expensive removal of graffiti. We just have gotten a work order to replace windows that have been etched by graffiti in the Fultz Courthouse, which were ignored for a period of time, so this is an accumulated graffiti problem, $160,000. That goes into the facilities mods. Redoing the roof and the windows at Sierra Downeyville was a facilities mod. So we have $65 million this year. So far, so good. That's what we have and we can spend. The red, by way of example, in the fiscal year we just closed out, 14-15 of 28, the darker sort of blood red, that's how much more money we need to do routine maintenance to a proper level. We basically don't wash windows at all. At the end of the last fiscal year, we briefly experimented with a couple $100,000 of money we thought we had to try some window washing just to see what we could learn from a few experiments at it. We learned some stuff. The truth of the matter is, though, basically we don't have money to wash windows. We've got a beautiful new courthouse in Hollister, beautiful new courthouse in San Bernardino. no foreseeable plan to wash those windows. They probably have good window washing equipment on the roof, properly Cal OSHA qualified, because you build a building that way. We don't have the money to go hang a window washer off the side of the building to maintain the windows. Frankly, if you don't wash your windows for 5 or 10 years, my understanding is you are jeopardizing the long-term integrity and validity of your window system. But we don't have the money to do that. We don't really have the money to do proper landscaping. We don't have the money to do enough routine maintenance. It's like, you know, should you change oil in your car at 10,000 miles or 7,500 miles or 5,000 miles? We sort of choose the 12,500-mile approach because that's how you stretch your budget. We do what's legally required and not much more. Then the little red sliver, which is brighter red, sort of fire engine red, that says 12 million, that's how much more we'd need for these big projects, facilities modifications, if we were to just meet an industry standard to spend, I believe it's 2% of your portfolio value every year to try to keep the thing refreshed. If we did that, I think we could tell you that the buildings weren't getting any sicker. They wouldn't be getting healthier. All I could tell you is they wouldn't be getting any sicker. And the truth of the matter is, after all these years, David's been on this committee 7 years, I think I've been on it 6 years, we're here to tell you that under our watch, our courthouses are getting sicker. We cannot tell you that we're keeping them at the same level they are. For want of money, under our watch, the buildings are getting sicker. The one thing we can say is we're spending the money we have on the most important systems for safety and for reliability, and not cosmetics. We haven't voluntarily painted the exterior of any courthouse on my watch that I know of. We haven't voluntarily painted the interior of any courthouse that I know of unless there's been water damage from like sewer overflows in the lockup or water damage from a pipe burst. And yet if you want a dignified temple of justice where people come to do their business, it would help to paint the courthouse every 5 or 10 years. And we just don't have the money for that. So what's the big yellow line? The big yellow line is basically that deferred maintenance budget that David referred to as the first agenda item. If you really wanted to try to take all these worn-out courthouses and make them back in proper running condition for the next generation, this is how much extra you have to pay to try to heal the patient. It doesn't mean that a building without a modern safe life safety system gets one. It just means that you try to get the building basically back to its as-constructed design from the 70s or the 60s or the 80s, by trying to get the systems up to date. Now, the next slide is going to be almost the same, but what's going to be different is there are going to be two more lines imposed. Actually, one more line imposed. So if you take me to the next slide. So what's different here is you see the green line that just emerged, which completes the mouse pad, as it were. And this is the growth of our square footage. So you'll see that back on the left-hand column, when we had hardly any square footage and hardly any spending, everything was good. We basically had enough money to do what we needed to do. The only problem was that was before we took over all the space. When we only had the Larson Criminal Justice Center in Indio and a courthouse in Lodi and like three other courthouses, life was good. David remembers being on the committee back then. We had hardly any buildings we could spend money on. We had a modest budget. We had adequate staff. And we could do a darn fine job of maintaining the Larson Justice Center in Indio because our problems were modest. But the line went shooting up like a skyrocket. And to some extent, it didn't go up quite as fast as shown because in L.A. County, the arrangements were made that L.A. County would continue maintenance for a lot of the portfolio for the first 2.5 years of the transfer. So title transferred officially, but the county ran it just like the good old days. And so candidly, Pat McGrath and Jerry Fabb and their team didn't really have to maintain the L.A. courthouses until basically the end of fiscal year June in 2012, I believe, when finally the huge Moss courthouse and the huge Foltz courthouse and all the rest of the inventory was a state responsibility. And so that's why our problems now are rising. And candidly, the longer you have to deal with a building, like dealing with a patient, the more you find out about their problems. That's one reason why the yellow line is growing, as we learn more about the problems that were latent. A very typical situation was a county, particularly in those several years when they knew they were going to get rid of the building to the branch, would stop spending big dollars on maintenance. I mean, it was sort of rational if you're the county. And many of these medium and large courthouses have air conditioning systems that involve two cooling towers on the roof and two chillers, which are large, sort of Freon or some kind of gas-based cooling system that then eventually produces chilled water in the chillers, and then the chilled water is what goes through the building to run over radiator fins, and the air is blown over the radiator fins in order to heat or cool the building. The heat comes from a boiler that produces hot water. Many counties would give us a building with one working chiller and one non-working chiller because, you know, 340 days of the year it might work until you got that hot spell. But it isn't the proper way to do it, because for one thing, you can't really take the one chiller out of service to maintain it if the other one doesn't work. You just have to run with that air conditioning for a while. Now, if you pick the right day in February and you can do it in a week, maybe you're okay. But it's not the way to do it. But we inherited all of these essentially functionally damaged courthouses with things like that. So let's go to the next slide. Staffing. We got the facilities modification budget from $50 million up to $65 million a couple of years ago, and that helped a lot. The problem is we haven't had the staffing to match the budget. When you're trying to buy construction, and that's what this is, and we're owners buying construction, you've got to have technical people on your side able to prudently specify what you want done, or else you're going to get reamed by the contractor, and then to supervise the work of the contractor, and then before you pay the bill, to make sure you got what the specs said the contractor was supposed to do before you write the check. And for want of enough technical staff, we have lots and lots, millions, tens of millions of dollars of encumbered funds for elevator overhauls, roof repairs, all sorts of things like this that are not proceeding simply for want of technical staff. And we can't take somebody on a transfer from CJUR or some other judicial council function and tell them to go manage construction. The nature of the work is fundamentally different. We need competent technical project manager staff on the payroll. And if you look at this, you'll see with the red line, the Department of Finance has authorized something like 74 positions to work in this function, and we have never had 74 filled positions. For a while, we had some temps on top of full-time employees, and in 2011-12, we got almost up to like 67 people out of the authorized 74. Then it went down. Now we don't have any temps anymore. And now it's going back up a little bit. But for want of technical staff in the last year, we've had, and there'll be a chart in a moment that shows you how much backed up work there is. And it's really unconscionable for the people who come to our courthouses that we have tens of millions of dollars sitting in a cash account waiting to be spent. But for want of technical staff, we can't spend it. And so let me get to the next slide. This slide is the same slide because of the additional data. The red line got pushed further down on the page, but it's the same data. What you're seeing with the green line and the whitish line is a reminder of how the square footage grew. That's the green line. So we've had this radical increase in square footage in recent years. And then the white or grayish line shows basically what the budget to be spent for the accumulation of facilities modifications and maintenance was. This is what you need your professional staff to manage, a budget. So you'll see how the budget popped up to 98, went down to 71, is back to 106. But basically, the staff that was adequate in 2008, 2009 to spend $48 million is not adequate to spend the $106 million we have now. Now, the good news is we have tried to make this point repeatedly, and I think we have communicated, and there are requisitions out to hire some people, and that's wonderful news. And I believe that Martin Ashina has recognized that there's going to be a need for some surge hiring to get some temporary people on board so that we can work off this portfolio of legitimate unfunded facilities mods so that we can move ahead. Can I get to the next slide? Now, this shows the backlog. This is how many millions of dollars of funded facilities modifications are on hold simply for lack of technical staff. It had peaked at something like $19,900,000 in January of this year. Thank goodness it's gone down. But it really shouldn't even be $7 million, let alone $19 million. We just have to get these people hired. We lose them. There are all sorts of reasons why skilled people leave you and go work for somebody else, but the truth of the matter is this is not a static workforce. It's going to be with us forever. We just lost somebody in L.A. The problem in Southern California has been particularly acute. And one other thing that's happened is in addition to the $65 million of facilities modification that is funded with state money, local courts are able to do what are called court-funded requests. And when courts now, due to the one-time reserve phenomenon, have end-of-the-year money that needs to be spent, it can be spent on technology, it can be spent on furniture, it can't be spent on hiring help, that doesn't work right, it can be spent on buying paper or toner cartridges, but another thing that we spend on is court-funded improvements to buildings. And by way of example, Los Angeles, at the end of the last fiscal year, funded something on the order of $9 million. Of court-funded requests, but the truth of the matter is it's the same people who have to do all this work, Jerry and Pat and their subordinates, who have to then get that work done, and indeed, because of the Department of Finance requirements, they have to be Johnny on the spot to get the court-funded request in process. So they basically have to jump the line for those reasons. So that's been more on facilities modifications than on routine maintenance. I'm going to now talk about our big problem with funding routine maintenance and utilities, as well as insurance and leases. This world of building maintenance has two buckets of money. Facilities mods come out of SB 1407 and I guess some SB 1732 money. Anyway, it's restricted funds. Operations and maintenance doesn't come at all from there, and instead it comes from a bundle of dollars that was the conception of Chief Justice George and Bill Vickery when SB 1732 passed. And basically, actually, take me a couple of slides ahead. Take me to the next slide. Thank you. This is where the money comes from to fund operations and maintenance in the broad sense of the term. The big yellow bars on the bottom are what are called CFPs, or county facility payments. About 53 of the 58 counties transferred courthouses. A few like Alpine and Marin and Trinity didn't, so that's why the count doesn't add up to 58. But for the 53 or so counties that transferred courthouses, one-off negotiations were done county by county, building by building, on how much the county would pay to the judicial branch in perpetuity, called a CFP, not adjusted for COLA, not adjusted for inflation or anything else, just a fixed absolute dollar sum subject to the depreciation of U.S. currency over time. And that would be what they'd have to pay in return to quit claim the courthouse and be done with the business of maintaining courthouses in those counties. And they were a bunch of one-off negotiations. It was financing by looking in the rearview mirror what the costs were several years in the rear, not what they were now or would be in the near future. And in part, it was to try to get the counties to, yes, they were being asked to quit claim ownership of buildings they'd built in return for nothing. And one of the reasons why it was sort of attractive to the counties to transfer the buildings is they got out of the headache of maintaining the courthouses in return for basically less than the real cost of maintaining the courthouses. And so they all made the deals. This number here is fixed. We have a few courthouses like maybe Yolo or something else where the county is finally moving into a new building, which is judicially branch built, and they will now start writing a CFP check as opposed to maintaining their old county-owned courthouse. So there's a little movement in the money, but the basic point that this is locked is true at the aggregate level, even though for a building here or building there, things change. The bar in the middle is the random other revenue we get. We rent a few buildings for good money. We get parking lot fees. We get night court fees. That's the red bar. And then the number at top, which is in light blue, which has been $8 million and change for the last six fiscal years, is what we get from the general fund. The conception was that the general fund was going to contribute as much as was needed to make up the difference. If the CFPs are locked in time historically with no inflation, and there's going to be inflation in anything like utility expenses or anything else, somewhere, somehow, you've got to get some more money. Well, the theory was under 1732, the legislature would just add money from the general fund to make up the difference. Sad but true, it hasn't happened. So let's go to the next slide. So this is where the money goes. Operations and maintenance covers four important but very different kinds of things. The yellow on the bottom is our utility bills. I mentioned before what we're doing to try to curve the growth of utility spending, but the truth of the matter is utility bills are going up, they're not going down. That's the number on the bottom. The little thin sliver in the middle is insurance. We buy more than no insurance, we buy hardly any insurance, and that's what we spend for insurance. The next bar, which is the darker blue, is what we pay for leases. I and Judge Elias hold court in lease space. So the branch pays a rent check to a landlord, and that's where we hold business. We don't have to maintain it other than writing the rent check. And then the top bar is basically mathematically what's left. And that's how we get to that number. It's what's left. It isn't really what's budgeted as needed. It's just what's left. And that's what funds routine maintenance. So that's the elevator inspections, the grass cutting, the snow removal, the routine changing of light bulbs, and that kind of stuff. Next slide. So in the last several years, there's been a kind of seesaw pattern where the revenues in light blue versus expenses in red, sometimes revenue exceeds expense, sometimes it goes the other way, and there's been a bit of a reserve left over in the bank, which has been what saved us until now. But you'll see the year we just closed out was about net even. The year we're going to go into, we expect to be overspent in terms of revenue by several million dollars. So take me to the next slide. The car is going off the cliff into the water because in fiscal 16-17, we're going to be about $6 million short of what the reserves would cover in trying to fund our utility bills, leases, insurance, and routine maintenance. If we don't find a way to cover that $6 million, we will not basically be able to pay our utility bills and or do enough routine maintenance. So the solution is we need some more general fund money in the next fiscal year. Now, I confess, I'm being married to a presiding judge. I do recognize that revenue for basic court operations through the BCP process is even more important than this kind of thing, because we do need more money to open more courtrooms and to provide more justice and to extend the hours. But subject only to that, this to this council should be seen as one of your absolutely most important priorities. So there are a whole bunch of BCPs we're going to show you in a moment. And frankly, because we have a different slide that shows it, let's move ahead to the slides that show it in more detail. So this will take us to item 1C. We've got six proposals. These are in your materials for today. Five of the six come from the general fund. One of the six is a one-off and doesn't impact the general fund and should be a no-brainer. The first is for basic operations and maintenance. We would like an augmentation of $27.6 million to basically cover leases, utilities, routine maintenance, and the like. The second is to get general fund money to make up that gap in the facilities modification program to the order of an augmentation of $12.7 million. The third is a separate request for additional facilities money, really just to reflect new courthouses. I believe it's specifically in reference to Stockton and San Diego that come online in the near future. We frankly have a lot of other new courthouses open in Hollister and Porterville and San Bernardino and whatever that didn't get additional funds, but we're told that the Department of Finance may not be sympathetic to giving us money for buildings we're already maintaining, because somehow the fact that we've endured without the augmentation means we should never get an augmentation. But we're going to get San Diego, we're going to get Stockton in the future, and the theory is an augmentation limited to this may be more comprehensible or agreeable to the Department of Finance. The next is risk management. We are, for all intents and purposes, bare when it comes to insurance. This would hopefully allow us to buy some catastrophic insurance so that the worst outcomes would be covered. The next category is security, $3.9 million. This is a real sticky contention. There used to be some money that came out of the MOD fund that went through the Office of Security under Malcolm Franklin's leadership for his regrettable demise. And for the counties that sort of found a way to get to this bucket of money, there was a way to make improvements and a way then to maintain what had been done. Many counties didn't know to go to Malcolm Franklin to get this assistance, so it was very helter-skelter who got it and who didn't. The whole question of how security is maintained is helter-skelter. We have seen when Malcolm's budget zeroed out and attrited, people showing up and asking us to take money that we thought was for roof repairs and elevator overhauls and to fix security systems. And we have on one or two occasions had to do it. We're doing like-for-like replacements because there's no other place in the state budget that I know of to even do it. But we recognize that there needs to be more money if we're going to do anything that would allow people to level up the worst of the courthouse conditions and, frankly, to maintain the systems that are in place, old and new and half-old. The last one is very different. This is one-off. This is a little bit like Sierra in one sense. The McCourtney Courthouse in Antelope Valley, Los Angeles County, is listed as a SB 1407 project, but only for $3.5 million. And while originally it was presented to be a capital project, somehow at the level of $3.5 million, the Department of Finance thought it ought to be called merely a facilities mod and essentially got shunted to a sidetrack. For a while, we couldn't figure out how to intelligently spend $3.5 million to do any good in the situation of the McCourtney Courthouse. But finally, the LA court, working with Judicial Council facility staff, realized that if we would finish out two shelled courtrooms in the existing Antonovich Courthouse for juvenile delinquency work, they would work very well for juvenile delinquency. That could be done for about $3.2 million. That leaves a little bit of money left at the McCourtney Courthouse, which becomes pure dependency. And as a pure dependency courthouse, using only two or three courtrooms instead of four, it finally becomes a serviceable courthouse instead of a disaster. And so this is your approval to submit a co-BCP. This would not be general fund money. This would be SB 1407 money. And Angela Guzman, who is the bookkeeper for this stuff, says the money's in the till. And Kurt, did you want to say something before we invited the chief to take her motions?
I'll go at the end.
Okay, fine. So basically, we have the items A, B, and C that need your action. We recommend your approval. They accomplish the strategic goal of trying to provide access to justice. And obviously, all of us are here to answer your questions. If you have any questions, one final thing I'll say is our written materials include things not covered in the PowerPoint, particularly about seismic risk. I was on CBS TV and apparently in multiple markets in the state trying to explain why we make jurors and custodies and witnesses come to courthouses that might pancake in a quake. The good news is they shouldn't pancake much in a quake. There'll only be limited damage, not total pancaking. But 50% of our courthouses are considered level 5 buildings in terms of square footage, and we don't have the money to replace them. But there's more of that in the report.
Thank you,
Thank
Judge
Heiberger.
Thank you. Kurt, did you want to go before I take questions?
No, go ahead, please, Chief.
Justice Holt?
Thank you, Chief. First of all, I'd like to say to Judge Power, Judge Heiberger, Kurt Soderlund, Mr. McGrath, and everybody that works on this, that we all appreciate, I'm sure, how difficult this work is and very important work. Very complex. It requires judgment because basically you're in a triage mode at all times because of the demands on the money that's not there. And I know we all appreciate that. I had two or three questions. One, on page 2 of the behind tab 1B on the recommendations on the manner in which we should spend the $65 million, the first category there is priority 1 facility modifications allocation of $10 million. I just wondered, does that $10 million cover all priority 1 needs?
We're making a guess about the future. It used to be 6 or 5 million in prior years, and it has gotten higher. And we're looking from experience, and we've raised, of course, we had an earthquake in Napa this year. But in many ways, it is the greater familiarity with the LA courts and continuing problems with the buildings in LA that keep throwing out priority one problems.
Okay. So we're not in a situation where we're ignoring priority one problems before we move to priority 2 to 6 problems.
We do nothing with 3 to 6. We totally give them a stiff arm.
2 to 6. Okay. I'm glad you mentioned the seismic failure problems. I know that's on everybody's mind. We've talked about it in the past. We'll talk about it in the future. But apparently we don't know what to do about it. I mean, the money goes into other things, and it seems to me that, you know, just the safety of the public and everything like that, I know you've probably agonized over answers, including going on national television.
Fortunately, it's only local.
Yeah.
All around California.
Yes, the answers are not forthcoming. Do you have any thoughts on how, other than just asking for the...
My understanding, staff is going to be able to commence doing some seismic studies to try to get an order of magnitude of what it would cost. So that has been made a task for staff as this issue got aired. We haven't had the report yet because, understandably, it's complicated. They may have to hire a consultant. Yeah. But study is underway.
I think that's important because it seems to me that it would have to resonate with the various legislators if we pare it down to you have 1, 2, 3 courthouses in your district, in your among your constituents who are in this condition and in this size quake, it's going to fall down or at least pancake to some degree and people are going to get hurt. And then there's going to be all kinds of finger pointing and it comes down to the fact that there was no funding to fix it. And so I'm glad to hear that we're turning our attention to that. I know it's been there for a while. Also, on 1C, on the BCPs, I just ask because I really am not familiar except for the concept, but was there any discussion as to whether or not we should ask for all 6 of those BCPs or we should pick out, you know, on the chance that it's awfully easy for the Department of Finance to say no, as we know, pick out 1 or 2 or 3 in the hopes of increasing the possibilities that at least those might be approved?
I think for our advisory committee, they are in our theoretical rank order of importance. 6 really doesn't fight for the same funds, so we assume it's a no-brainer to be approved, no matter how far back on the line it is. But as to the first 5, which are all competing for general fund money, that I believe does reflect our considered ranking.
Justice Hall, I'd like Kurt Soderlund to respond to that as well.
And
sure.
So as an example, this is Kurt Soderlund. Thank you, Justice Hall. As an example, on item number 3, additional funds to support facilities, operations, and newly constructed trial court facilities, that is a pare back from the prior year submissions where we had been trying to restore dollars back to the construction funds supplanted by the general fund to cover the costs of and occupancy of these new buildings. So we changed that approach this year and only limited it to not the buildings that are already built in the past and been occupied, but the new ones that are coming online. So to that extent, you're pointing that out, we did take that approach.
Okay, there's been some trimming already in these proposals.
That's right.
All right. Thank you, Paul, and thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Yes, Justice Millen.
So I also want to compliment Judge Heiberger and Judge Powers and all of your committee for the work that you do and the tireless work that you do. I hear from both the chair and the vice chair many times on the trips you take and the visits you make to the different facilities up and down the state. And I want to thank you for that. And for Judge Powers, I never gave you permission to retire or to leave as chair. And myself as chair of EMP and the EMP members will truly miss you because you've done a wonderful, wonderful job. And you should be proud of that. And the branch and the council is very proud of what you've done in that regard. So thank you for your service.
Thank you for your kind words.
And then lastly, I'd like to move approval of items 1A, 1B, and 1C.
Do I hear a second?
Second,
thank you, by Judge Nadler. I don't see any hands raised for any more discussions or questions, but I too join in what's been said about the work of this committee led by you, Judge Power, and led by you, Judge Heiberger, and the very, I would say, focused staff of the JC on this issue. I remember most recently I came in the middle of a meeting quite abruptly, and the level of attention and what was on the screen and your committee members' involvement was striking. And I know at the time also that, again, you're working with limited funds and trying to determine, basically you're in an ER and you're trying to triage, as someone said, what is the best and the safest way to use the funds we have now. And for that balancing factor, I'm greatly appreciative. I believe in many ways all of you have become experts in this, and the continuity has been extremely helpful. Thank you. All in favor of recommendations 1A, 1B, and 1C, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you very much. All pass.